Greetings, I'm your host, James Gillen. We've got another great show. We've got Santos Bonacci here, and he's got some amazing information. So I'm going to give you a real short bio because I really want to get into the information that's happening right now. And he deals with the subject of syncretism and bringing together the fields of knowledge and wisdom and showing interrelatedness of all subjects. Syncretism is the opposite of division and disunity and covers the big topics like theology, astral theology, natural science, astrology, reclaiming dominion, breaking the fictions of religion, science and law, and the holy science and ancient science based on the workings of the solar system, which is the science of as above, so below. These sciences enable one to develop wisdom and enlightenment far beyond what this world currently has to offer. So let's bring a little bit of that enlightenment to the table. Santos, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, James.
Hey, it's great to hear from you again. I know you've probably been doing back-to-back radio shows, and I've been doing the same thing. I've been on the road doing conferences and shows in between. But I'd really like to get down to business as to what's happening on this planet. I know energetically people are just having to face their beast. I mean, everything is coming up. And there seems to be this major battle going on between different factions that you were talking about, the different churches and the different planetary sects, you might say. So I'd love to get some more feedback on that as far as, you know, what's unfolding as far as the big picture.
Okay, well, let's call this show then, I'd like to call it, give it a very strange title, but I'd like to call it The Church of Peter and the Church of Paul. Okay, and then I'd like to give it a subtitle because I'd like to give it two or three titles. This is why I'm going to do it this way. The War of Between Saturn and Jupiter, because that's what it is. Peter is Jupiter, and Paul is Apollo slash Saturn slash Kronos, Saturn. And Saturn is also known as, in theology, as Satan. So, and Jupiter is also known as Jehovah or Jesus. And that would be, Jesus would be Jupiter Zeus. So I introduced it like this because now, and I'll bring it to today's times, because the question is revolving around what's going on in the world today geopolitically. Looks like the Illuminati boys are all in turmoil. They got their backs up against the wall. The Pope has issued motu proprios, taking immunity away from the juridical person, etc., etc., etc. But you see that they're still vicious, and you know their cronies are still going around. You know, all the thugs in uniform still going around collecting, you know, fines and rates, and they haven't relented there. So they haven't gone away, but they're in trouble. So, but I wanted to do that from the perspective and the context of Jupiter and Saturn, Peter and Paul, because these two have been dominating as above, so below, for thousands of years, and in particular, our time right now. How so? Well, we have to understand this, James. Many people do not have the correct perspective because they don't have astronomy skills, they don't have astrological skills, they don't have any quadrivial skills. And see, so they miss what's going on. But what I want to do today is talk about the changing of the guard that occurred on February the 11th when Pope Benedict, the Jupiterian Pope, resigned. As he said to the BBC, I can no longer continue in the Petrine ministry adequately. Now, I'll get back to that word Petrine because it's the rock that Jesus builds his church on, the rock that is the exoteric church of stone, Rome, and it's in other words, and it's actually Peter and Jupiter. Right, but yes, that's what it is, and that's the rock, Petrine. So he said he can no longer continue, of course, because the era of Pisces ended on the 21st of December 2012. And they know it, I know it, and all the astrologers who know the science, who know how to date time correctly, know this, that the changing of the guard occurred above from Pisces to Aquarius. The ruler of Pisces is Jupiter, Jehovah. The ruler of Aquarius is Saturn and Uranus. Saturn is Satan. He is Kronos. But in Aquarius, his rulership by day, he is a good god. In a Capricorn, his rulership by night, he is the evil god. But it's not good nor evil. It's just there's archetypes, okay? Mm-hmm. So what happened is 2 months after this universal cosmic handover took place because of the galactic crossing on the 21st of December 2012, they decided, well, the game's up. Jupiter, we can no longer harvest the Jupiterian energy because Pisces is over. Only can you harvest the planetary energy of the age under the sign that it's in. You see, so Jupiter was prosperous for 2,000 years. And that's Peter, Jupiter, the stone, the rock. What you bind in earth, you will bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, you will loosen in heaven. That's what Jesus said to Peter, the rock upon which he built his church. And Constantine, 300 years later, turns up with the donation of Constantine, by which we are forever paying Peter's pence, because Peter is the one that collects the taxes. It's the Church of Peter. It's an ecclesiastical system based on astrology and based on Jupiter being the ruler and knowing that he would have to hand back over to his father, whom he castrated many thousands of years ago, Saturn, Kronos, when Aquarius would return and Uranus would reign. So what happened was on at 12 p.m. February 11, 71 years to the day that Mussolini signed the Concordat of the Vatican, February 11, 1929, Benedict resigns and says, can't do the Petrian thing anymore, and the ship of Peter is, well, basically it has landed, it's over, mm-hmm. And I'll get back to those two things, the word Petrian and the expression that he used in the article in the BBC, the boat or the ship of Peter, because it's the bark of Ra that we're mm-hmm. talking about, okay?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I know this is a big way to jump into a radio show, but I have to lay this foundation because in the end you will see and it'll blow your mind.
No, it's fascinating,
you'll piece it all together, don't worry. It's a nice jigsaw puzzle, but it comes together well. So all have known, except for the ignorant masses, of course, who think that astrology is from the devil or a pseudoscience, all have known that Jupiter is the god of, well, he's got a little girlie, you see, and her name's Juno, and she's got this temple in Rome called Juno Moneta, that would be money, Juno money. And so Rome has been pressing money via Jupiter's girlfriend Juno, in its temples. You see, this is why the Federal Reserve is a temple, the building. All of the banks, all the big banks, they are all built as temples. That's what they are. They are banks and temples. And so this Saturnian temple, see, Saturn is, the name Saturn comes from Kronos, which comes from time, chronology, you know, mm-hmm. all of the timekeeping stuff, right? So keep this in mind, please, because we have a word called tempo in Latin. That's the word for time. Kronos mm-hmm. is Greek. So we have tempo, and tempo gives us words like temple. Yes, tempo and L. Those would both be words for Saturn, because tempo is Saturn, and so is L. That's his Phoenician name, you know, Elohim or El. So all temples are devoted to the god of time, because they are all born in time, hence they are given to Saturn. And so this is why the Federal Reserve and all of this, because it goes back to Juno Moneta and the fact that Juno and Jupiter, well, in astrology, Jupiter is the greater benefic. He is wealth, prosperity, abundance. Mm-hmm. You get the drift, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Romans knew that there was going to be a capitalistic, abundant period of wealth beyond recognition if they could master the seas and conquer all lands. And they set about doing it 2,500 years ago. And they did it. They conquered all the lands of the sea. It's called the Holy Sea. Mm-hmm. And it was the sea that was, the ship that was on that sea was the bark of Ra, the bark of Jupiter. It has now landed. It is finished. And it changed over on February 11th at 12 midday when Benedict said, no more Petrine stuff. It's all over. And the same day, 6 hours later, at 5:59 p.m., a thunderbolt landed on the Vatican, and the cameras picked it up. And that was, well, you tell me, James, who is responsible for lightning and thunder, which is the archetype?
Well, there's Thor, and then there's, wait a second, who is,
yeah, yeah. You said it, yeah. Thor. Who is Thor? Jupiter.
Jupiter,
Zeus. Jesus.
Yeah, Peter. Zeus was good with the thunderbolt too, I guess.
Well, that see, like most people, exactly. Well, that is, it's Zeus.
Yeah.
Hence you see that thunderbolt everywhere. For instance, the glyph for Sagittarius, because Zeus is the ruler of Sagittarius, Jupiter. Yeah. And you see it's a lightning bolt, it's an arrow, mm-hmm. right? Well, that happened on February 11, 6 hours after Pope Benedict resigned below Peter, mm-hmm. Peter in heaven, Saint Peter, Jupiter, Thor, Zeus, sends a thunderbolt and resigns and says, Pisces is over. And in come the Jesuits, all dressed in black, Saturnian, because there's always been Benedictine and Dominican popes in the Vatican. There has never been a Jesuit. This is the first time, and that was what Malachi was saying would be the last pope, because there's been a changing of the guard, and there's been a changing of law and time, and people haven't even picked it up.
Yeah.
And and it's now we're handed over to Saturn in his noble capacity as angel of light in Aquarius, because Aquarius is the sign of air, spirit. And it is, I know, the motto is, whereas Pisces was, I believe, I doubt, the two fish, mutable waters, and we were baptized in Jesus's mutable waters of Pisces. Now we are being baptized by Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you know who said there is one coming that will baptize? I baptize with water, but there is one who is coming that will baptize with spirit and fire.
Yeah, John the Baptist said that.
Exactly. And John is Janus, and Janus is January. And guess when Aquarius turns up every year? In January.
Yeah.
Yes. And so the urn in Uranus and the urn in Saturn is the urn of Aquarius. Aquarius says, I know. And January was the baptism month in ancient Rome. They nicknamed it the baptism, and they said it was January the baptism. And in theology, it's John the baptizer, because Aquarius baptizes us with spirit, spiritual waters, because air fixed air of Aquarius is mind, and hence we are now being baptized in knowing. We do not doubt.
Mm-hmm.
We know. And so, and the powers that were are hanging on. They're hanging on by the skin of their teeth to the power that they used to wield and the force that they used to wield. But you can see that it's being dismantled. For instance, a small example. In Melbourne here, there have been no chemtrails or few, very few chemtrails since October 1st. There you go. And that would be because the money's dried up. And that would be because Pope Benedict, since September the 1st, implemented his motu proprio, and they know that they don't have immunity. So any pilot up there that's spraying chemtrails and knows that it's full of, you know, whatever, bacteria, blood plasma, microfibers, aluminium, radium, and mercury, and all sorts of contaminated poisons, they are liable now. So there's been, now, there's been a changing of the guard, you see. So now the legal fiction, the juridic person, has no longer protection, no longer any immunity. You see, because legalities, James, come from the word legale in Latin, which is very similar to the word legare in Latin. Now, let's have a look at those two words, shall we? Because this is why the legal, this will explain why the legal system of Jupiter, the legislator, Zeus, the chief legislator and god of wealth and prosperity, god of fictions, you see, because it's legal fictions. It's fictional positive law that Jupiter gives us, not divine law, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what was the point? I was getting to some point there.
So are the Jesuits going to uphold the divine law? Are we going back to being recognized as divine beings?
Well, yes, we are now. We can just walk into court and establish a common law court and get business done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain that in a minute, right? We always had this power. We didn't know it.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do. It's easy to do. You just change the court in an instant. The moment you walk in, should you need to go. I would never go. You know, I've been invited many times via summonses, but I don't. I just send the postman away with it, blowing him a kiss. Bye-bye, sweetie poo. But see, legale, legal, comes from the root verb legare, to bind.
Mm-hmm.
Hair, fasci, type. Rome, type, you know, divide and conquer, bind the slaves. It's the kingdom of slavery. It is the kingdom, the fourth captivity, according to the Jews, of slavery, involuntary servitude via the birth certificate, which is a death certificate. And in that verb legare, to bind, we have rilegare, which we get religion from.
Mm-hmm.
So Jupiter, yeah, so Jupiter, Zeus, Jesus, Jesus, has given us religion down our throats for 2,000 years, a corporate, fictional Ponzi scheme, a tax-collecting scheme, for 2,000 years from Zeus and his little girly Juno. And so the religion, rilegare, and the legal juridic system, fictional, that is, of Jupiter, legale, legal, are now over. Officially, they've been debunked, they've been exposed, and we have exposed their crime. And I'll explain in detail what the crime is and how it is that they have committed this crime. And they know it, and they're living on borrowed time. And once a fraud is revealed and exposed, it is null and void, nunc pro tunc, tunc pro nunc.
Yeah.
So we've been hammering at the system. Me, on a syncretism level, I just come back from a tour of 22 presentations in four countries in Europe, Amsterdam, Ireland, England, 14 presentations, and 8 days straight in Italy, in Rome and Florence, twice in Tuscany and once in Rome. 8 days solid of Italian syncretism and sovereignty. And so I'm just fresh off this tour. And let me tell you, James, that we are on the verge of a big, big critical mass change on this planet, because we have hammered the system and exposed them to the core. And the system of slavery is exactly this. The Catholic Church has been baptizing people unbeknownst to them via the birth certificate. You see, when we arrive in their hospitals, which are military establishments run by the Knights of Malta, they get to keep the placenta and the DNA that they pick up off the ground, which we leave behind. Kindly enough, though, they do advertise the fact that they've created a corporate juridic person based on the DNA, which is the vessel of the cargo that landed in their docks, hence the doctors, hence the birthing. And so they give you a docket receipt anyway, the captain. And so they do advertise in the papers the announcement of the birth, do they not?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're just telling you, hey, we've got some lost property here. Does anyone want to come back for it? Now, it's a bit like when you go and get your nice long hair snipped off at the hairdressers and you pay over the cash and you say, see you later, and walk out of there. Now, all of a sudden, the lord of the building owns some of your DNA, do they not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, they might want to say, hey, look, unless you put an ad in the paper and say, we've got some hair here and it belongs to this juridic person, unless you want it, we might use it for wigs and, whatever, and sweep it up and put it to good use. They might do that. They don't need to. But in the case of stealing your energy and your soul, because the Vatican has a kingdom which is called a trirenium, three kingdoms. This is why the Pope wears a triple tiara. Yeah. Otherwise called the trirenium. Because they've got three kingdoms. You know, they've got your spirit and they've got your emotional, your soul and your body.
Yeah.
And your short and curlies. Now, how they do this is the Knights of Malta, hand over this intellectual property, because that's all they are, parasites, gleaning, looking for intellectual property for the Jesuit crew so that they can own that intellectual property, the all caps name.
Yeah.
And all of these pimps, because we're living in a pimpocracy, remember that, because it doesn't matter what other expression you use, it will never define the system that we live under better than pimpocracy. And so what they do then is the state now gets your body, and the Vatican gets your soul and your spirit. This is the trirenium. And they make three trusts, the three SESPKV trusts, and they administer now your soul, because you see, they have an original copy, don't they? You are the genuine artifact, but you haven't reclaimed your DNA. So this is going straight to the crux of the matter, James, so that we can, then elaborate further. If you want to get out of the Roman system, you need to reclaim your property and joinder it to the genuine article, because they will always be claiming. They'll be coming to you, knocking to the door to steal your kids, steal your home via the banks. They will steal all the property via that registration.
You there?
Yep.
Wow, that was interesting. I just had a crystal fall off the light out of the blue and land on the computer.
Must have been listening in.
Yeah.
Tuned in.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. Just out of the blue, where'd that come from? But anyway, I guess a little emphasis point on there.
Yeah, that crystal knows exactly what I'm talking about. And it's fallen off it's perched because it's thinking, shit, we haven't changed since a gazillion years ago. Yeah, since a gazillion years ago.
Yeah.
Or rather, you know, it's saying, no, the change is here. Because really, crystals, Christ is what we are. Carbon crystals. Six, six, six. Six neutrons, six protons, and six electrons. And that is the atomic number of carbon, and carbon is the God element. It's the middle element of creation whereby everything manifests, the matrix, the mother, you know, through those elements. And so all of these elements come through the signs, and the sign of Jupiter is tin and prosperity and wealth through the waters of Pisces, the illusory waters of deception of Pisces. Because also in the sign of Pisces, we have to remember there are other factors. There are other rulers. Venus exalts in Pisces. We have to look at Venus's negative attributes too now to understand what really transpired in the period of Pisces, the last 2,000 years. Neptune, the god of deception, was also the ruler of Pisces. We've already said Jupiter and his girlfriend Juno. We need to also look at the deacons of Pisces, the band. Would that be something to do with binding two fish? Yes, binding and Jupiter, Zeus. Then we have Cephas and Andromeda, the three deacons of Pisces. Well, if Cephas wouldn't be the nickname of Peter that Jesus gave him in the Gospel of John when he says, "Hello, Peter, I will call you Cephas, and on this church I will build my rock." Yes, because Cephas is a deacon of Pisces. And when you find Cephas in the northern skies, you will see him next to Hercules. And below his feet, you will see the star Polaris in Ursa Minor. And Ursa Major, the big bear, she is the mother of Ursa Minor, and she's trying to put her son on the throne. You know, in the cycle of procession, there's a wobble in procession, and there are seven pole stars. And Polaris has only been there for 2,000 years. He turns up when, guess who, with his foot on him, turns up in the age of Pisces, Cephas. Yeah. So you see, this is what's going on in the Gospels, James. This is so important that we understand this if we want to enter the higher mind and not be stooped in the superstition of corporate church, Peter Stone, exoteric Christianity, because it's a crock. The true church is the church of what Freemasons would call the Church of John, St. John. And in Rome, there are two powerful cathedrals. One, of course, we know is the Church of Peter, St. Peter, and the Basilica of St. Peter. And the other one is San Giovanni Laterano. So that would be St. John, and that is in reference to the esoteric Christian church, which they never have destroyed and never will. And it's a symbol of that church, because John is Hermes, and Hermes is the planet of hermetic, esoteric truth, not exoteric truth. Mm-hmm. Hence, when Rome set about building the Church of Peter, that was in reference to two items: stone, Petra, Peter, and paper, papa, papacy. The paper sea, the two-dimensional paper sea that they write their indulgences on when they invite you via a summons to go and do commerce at the bank to a priest of Baal, and you are doing on the Holy See, you are doing this on their indulgences on paper. And paper comes from papa, the papacy. And papa is pater. And the name of Jupiter, the Greeks called him pater andron, te theon te, which means Pater Andron means father of men, and Jupiter is Pater Noster, the father, Jehovah. And so, but it also is in reference to the same word that has the same root, paper, for papacy. And hierarchy, patriarchy, father, papa. Papa comes from Baba. Baba is Babylon, and Baba is in Syria. That's what you would say for father. Yeah. In it's Aramaic for father. Babylon means patriarchy, and Rome is Babylon Mark II, patriarchy, paper, and stone, the Church of Petra. And that's it. That's it. That's all summed up as concisively as I and succinctly as possibly I could, but I could spend hours on tangents forever on any show that you want to do, yeah, going down any tangent there, all right? And but we must remember that the way out is to reclaim that DNA, James. It's very important. I've got all the documents. You can get them on Kate of Gaia, Kate of Gaia website. I just came off a show with Kate now on Blog Talk Radio. For the listeners, please, I would prefer that you go straight to Kate of Gaia and get the motu proprio that you issue to the Pope to get out of the ship and possibly the new ship that's coming, because the bark of Ra, Peter, has landed. There is a new kid in town. And we do not know whether it is good or evil that is coming, because it is neither in the end. Because they are one and the same thing, both two faces of the same coin. And this is what we must understand to get out of duality or polarity and to get into unity, is to understand that, you know, we can't be judgmental and say, oh, it's a good thing. Pope Francis now, the Jesuit Saturnian Uranian Pope, so far has done two great strikes. He's issued two moto proprios, and they are kicking butt. But who knows? They might be doing it in another selfish, evil way again, and decide to use their power for evil. That's up to them, and everything else is up to us. We are part of it, and we are co-creators in it. And the more we better ourselves and improve ourselves and raise up the Christ consciousness, because that's what they've done, that Rome has had a war against Christ. It is Christendom, and it is the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And it has gone after the Church of St. John, the true Church of Hermes. It has gone underground.
Well, Hermes was, I guess... Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but what I was told was Hermes and Thoth were the same beings, and he was the builder of the pyramids and kept the esoteric knowledge, you know, the real knowledge, was holding it together. And then one of his edicts, he said, you know, if I come back and you guys have screwed this up, you know, all hell's going to break loose. So, you know, who knows where that's going to go.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Thoth. And Thoth is at the root of our word thought. And wouldn't Thoth, Hermes, Mercury, Buddha be the god of thought? Mm-hmm. Thoth? I mean, these are the words. These words, there are many. Look at the word mother. The root of the word mother comes from Mot, M-O-T. That's the wife of Ra, who is the father. And brother, spelt pronounced bra, well, that's the same as the word Abraham and abracadabra. Yeah. And so you've got brother and sister. Just put an I in front of sister and you have Isis. Isis star. And brother is Ra Theos. So Ra Theos and Isis star. Every time we greet our brothers and sisters. Mother, father, all of these words, they all come from Egyptian English, angelish language. English is Egyptian Hebrew. Hebrew is the matrix language. It's the language of light. The 22 letters come from, if you were to put a pole in the ground with two intertwined serpents at the right dimensions, you've got to do this correctly, And you put that in the ground like a sundial. From the point of sun rising in the east to sun setting in the west, you will get 22 different, distinct, individual shadows along the ground from Aleph to Tav. And notice that Tav is the Tau, the cross, because the light, Christ, gets crucified on a cross because the alphabet comes from light. So when it rises in the east is Aleph. When it sets in the west, the last shadow on that sundial with intertwined serpents will be the Tav, because the Christ, light, gets crucified on a cross. And that's why the whole Hebrew language is designed like this. It's designed by universal mind thinking, by vibration. Vibration is the key word. And that's why you look at the Hebrew language, the second last letter is shin, which gives us sin, because it's the letter that missed the mark. It wasn't the first, and it wasn't the last. It was second last. Oh, you came. Sorry, second last as well. It's worse than. But the point is, and then when you go to the other end of the calendar, you've got Aleph Bet. Well, that word Ab, in Hebrew, Abba, that's father. You see, so you've got the father light, Abraham, coming from the east, making all of these light shadows on the ground, and then getting crucified with the Tau. And you look at an ankh, and you'll see that it consists of two letters. Hebrew Tav at the bottom, Tau or Tav, and the Omega, the Greek Omega. Now, both of those are the last letters of those languages. Omega, which is, there's two O's in the Greek language. There's Omega, the big O, and Omicron, the little O. And Omicron, the micro O, gets only to be in the middle of words or at the start of words, whereas Omega is always at the end of the word. Hence, look at the glyph for Libra. When you realize that Libra is always the seventh sign of the ecliptic, hence it will always be the sign below the equator, and also in the daily cycle, the sign below the horizon at sunset. And you see, the glyph for Libra is none other than Omega, the sun setting. You see, and Omega, the big O in the sky, is the sun. That's why it looks like the sun kissing the horizon. And so when you join the Omega with the Tau, the Hebrew Tau, you get the Ankh. And that is the language of angles. That's why the priests of Egypt walked around with the Ankh in their hands, because they were religious. This was a geometric form that brought light into their bodies. And it was also showing that they were a philosopher and that they knew their angles. They knew the language of angels, astrology. Because is it not a language of angles, degrees, seconds, and minutes? When I do an astrological chart, I observe what's called, and what we all know to be, science in degrees, seconds, and minutes of arc. So I'm dealing in science. And so that's what it is. It's the language of angles, angels. And all of our words come from light. And I've proven this. You give me any word, you give me any name, and I'll prove that it comes from either the sun, light, or its helpers, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the 7 days of the week, the seven notes of the musical scale, the seven chakras, the seven colors of the rainbow. Because Snow White, there's no whiter than the sun. And when you look at the planets and you know that their vibration corresponds with the seven colors of the rainbow, you know who Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs are. And so those are the seven archetypes of matter that will affect light. But in the end, the universe is created by light, James. And we are beings of light bodies, Christs.
The I know the you had a lot of I love some of the quotes you had down here by each of the different masters of even Jesus about the kingdom of God is within you, and you know all of these quotes. I was looking through these, you know, about trust yourself, you know how to live from God, Gandhi, you know, turn the spotlight inward, you know, to be to thine own self be true. Seems like every teaching, when you boil it down, boils down to, you know, the source is within you, or God is within you, or creator is, whatever name you want to give it. It's an inward journey. And what I've seen is our whole program right now is designed to keep everybody external and to keep you from going inward. And that whole system seems to be designed to keep, you know, to enslave people by distracting them from their own divinity.
Right, which brings me back nicely to the title that I chose for the show. And you remember that I said Peter and Paul rather than Peter and John. Uh-huh. Okay, so let me go back so that there's no confusion in anyone's minds, because this will now give us the last link to clinch the whole thing. What's going on? Yes. What has come now is a waking up of the people and the true church of Christ, the esoteric church within, the one without of stone, Petra, Peter, Jupiter, Jesus, Jupiter, Zeus. That's over. Remember, they resigned on February 11, both of them. As above, so below. Now we have Saturn. Well, let's go back to Saturn. You see, Saturn is an esoteric god archetype. He is an occult god. It's Satan. It's the god Lucifer. It's the wrong kind of light for the Christians of the esoteric church, because it's the church, it's the light of darkness which these feeble eyes cannot perceive. You see? That's all it is. Satan and Lucifer, the difference between the two is whether it's the light of day or the light of darkness. Period. That's all it is. That's the two archetypes. Hence, the light of darkness is where, that's the reflective light where you sit and ponder at night when you're reading your books and praying and meditating and blissing out on the divine knowledge that you are light. Mm-hmm. And that is Saturn on the one hand and Mercury on the other, because it's Peter and Paul or Peter and John. Take your pick. John, because John in his gospel said, I was the one that the Lord, that I sat next to the Lord's breast. I was the one that was always close unto the Lord. Yet Mercury is close to the sun. Just look up and you'll see Mercury is never more than 28 degrees away from the sun. All the other planets, yes, but Mercury is right there at the breast of the Lord. The Lord is Jesus, the sun, because that is Yeshua, the sun. Yesh is fire, sun in Hebrew. And so, but Saturn, on the other hand, is furthest away and hence deeper, darker, colder, and more reflective kind of light, the kind of light that permeates rather than like a creative, forceful light. It's an introspective kind of light. Hence, we've always had the church, Peter and Paul. And when you look at the letters of Paul, you will notice Paul, Apollo, Saturn. You will notice that they are esoteric, Gnostic Christianity. He never once referred to a literal church, historical, stone Jesus. He always referred to the Christ within. Colossians 1:26, 27, etc., etc. Galatians, have a look at Galatians. Have a look at the esoteric Freemasonry, beautiful Freemasonic letter to the Hebrews, because the Hebrews are the highest caste in this system. You see, we live in the caste system. There are Hebrews at the top, Jews under them, Israelites under them, and Christians below, the little foot soldiers, you know. Onward, Christian soldiers, off you go to war. We will make the uniforms as we've done before. Mm-hmm. And that's not talking about, you know, races here, because there's no such thing as a Jewish race. because the Jew is one within. But, you know, it's those that call themselves Jews because they call themselves aristocrats, but they haven't made any progress up the castes, and they're still sudras. You know, they're not Brahmas. They're sudras. And this is the spiritual caste system that Freemasonry has cast the whole world in. It is a real caste system, but it is a caste system that these individuals have manipulated, because through knowledge, they have increased their knowledge, but of course their soul evolution, their hearts are not developed, hence they have the knowledge.
Yeah.
That they apply of this science, hence they've called themselves Jews, elevated ones, mm-hmm. you know, elite. Well, they call themselves elite, do they not? That's elevated.
Well, yeah, it's a separation game, which is, you know, totally not very evolved on a soul level. You know, they're still playing that game, and they're not even going to go anywhere when they cross this plane, because they're going to be still stuck on the wheel because they can't engage unity consciousness. They're still doing this separation division game. So they gain nothing, you know, by this program other than affirming their own arrogance and ignorance.
They gain the world and lose their souls.
Exactly.
And this is what Jesus said, our literary hero, not our literal hero, for all the potential churchgoers, mm-hmm. love you very much, but you can't just, you know, you can't, when it comes to the two most famous characters in history, Santa Claus and Jesus, you can't have one historical literal and the other one non-historical literary, because they are all literary creations. For gospels are gospels are gospels are gospels. They are not history. And we only have four gospels of our Lord Christ Jesus, our Savior.
I've always felt, you know, a lot of the churches, they have the most disempowering message I've ever heard. And although the other message is there, they refuse to look at it or listen to it. And if they were really teaching, the true teachings of Jesus, they would say, you know, it's time to lead yourself from your own heart and soul. You know, go within and make your own personal connection with God, Spirit, Creator, whatever name you want to give it. And you don't need us, but if you guys want to hang out and party here and you want to have a building to do it in, yeah, go ahead and throw some money down. But, you know, it's not through guilt and unworthiness and fear of losing, you know, the love of God that they push on people, you know, to keep the bucks flowing. It's just such a bad joke. And you'd think people would finally get it, you know, and I think people are finally getting it, that they totally missed the mark on the real teachings, you know, that were, you know, supposed to be passed down.
Yeah, they're stuck in the Church of Peter, Petra, rock, stones, papers, you know, they've got their books. Oh, read the Watchtower if you want to go into the kingdom. Read the Joseph Smith's Book of Mormon if you want to go into the kingdom. So they're certainly into stones and paper, you know, Petra and Pater Paper.
You know what,
Pater Noster.
Yeah, you know what go ahead. Well, the big cosmic joke, you know, is you don't have to read anything, because no matter how hard you try, you can't separate yourself from omnipresence. You can just live the illusion, you know.
Exactly. And so you're right. People are waking up. The Church of Peter, Petra, and Paper has been persecuting the Church of Paul or Church of John, mm-hmm. or Hermes, the esoteric church, for so long, and that's because, and that's why these churchgoers are supporting these stone edifices and these paper institutions where they read, you know, in the Watchtower and Awake magazine and stuff written on paper, whereas the scriptures tell you themselves that the letter of the word killeth, but the spirit of the word vivifies. Hence, what they've done is they've betrayed themselves, the spirit within, the Christ within. And they have served the Church of Peter, the Church of Stone, mm-hmm. the exoteric church, and they will be petrified for it. It's called perdition.
Going to get the Medusa effect.
Yeah, well, that's what it means. That's what Medusa means. You know, Medusa is a is in the hands of Perseus. Perseus is in the is a deacon of Ares. Ares is the ram, the cerebram, the cerebrum in the head. And so Medusa is the medulla oblongata. Perseus in Ares is chopping that because that's where the lower mind gets topped off.
Yeah.
The Medusa. You see, the medulla oblongata is the lower mind, whereas Ares, the ram, where Perseus is standing right next to, he's looking down from the top of the head, heaven heaved up, looking down, and it's slaying the medulla oblongata and saying the lower mind shall stay down. And the ram is exalted. This is why the Jews blow the ram's horn, you see.
Yeah.
It's the pineal gland. It's the pineal gland and Ammon's horn, the hippocampus in the cerebrum.
Wow. Yeah, the so and we're coming up to the end of the hour here, and I wanted to get back a little bit to it. So it seems like the old guard, you know, is just imploding. You know, it's basically out, and they're just hanging on and grasping at straws. We're not really sure what the new guard is going to do, but ultimately we need to just pull out of everything altogether and become sovereign divine beings. If that's my gist of the conversation. Are you there?
Yeah. Sorry. Can you say that again? Because I was just receiving a call there and got distracted.
Okay. Well, it just seems like the gist of it right now is that, you know, we are going through, you know, a change in the guard. The old guard is imploding, you know, folding in on itself. And the new guard, we're not sure about which direction they're going to take in. But ultimately, you know, we need to become sovereign in our own divinity and lead ourselves. I mean, that does seem to be the gist of what's unfolding right now.
Yes, yes. It's called the dead shall rise. And the dead are the ones that are in the lower mind, below the medulla oblongata, working out of the solar plexus. And not working out of the and the cerebellum, rather than working from the cerebrum and the heart, because those two are connected. The cerebrum is the ram, the lamb of God, and Leo is the heart, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Christ atom in the heart, and we have a Christ atom in the pineal gland, the ram, Aries, the cerebrum. And those are both fire signs in astrology, and fire is spirit, mystical, and fire is the creator, Jehovah God, Yod He Vah He. That's the creator. And so the lamb and the lion, the lamb and the lion, the cerebrum and the heart, these are the two seats of the soul. These are where Christ dwells. Christ dwells in these. And we need to live in those rather than the lower mind. So people are waking up, and the Church of Saturn or the Church of St. John, January, Saturn, John the Baptizer, Mercury, has overtaken the Church of Peter, and that's what's going on. If you look at it that way, you'll understand all things, James.
Yeah.
Just look at it that way, from the highest perspective possible. Why look at it from the lowest?
You know, I know a lot of people are just getting, you know, in the lower mind, and everything's getting all complicated and going crazy right now, and everybody's kind of flipping out. And I told him, I said, you want to have a really good foundation to deal with. I said, it's so simple. I said, all we need to do is be kind and loving to each other and the planet. That's simple. Make that your doctrine, you know, or your religion, and set boundaries with people who are not, you know, kind and loving. It's really that simple. It's time to stand, you know, stand tall, stand in your own divinity, and set boundaries with those who aren't recognizing and honoring that. And if everybody did that, you know, we'd have heaven on earth real fast.
Yeah, the golden law. Do unto others as you wish them to do unto you, and vice versa. And just any other, you know, configuration of that. The golden law. Do no hurt to no one. There's only one law. That's it.
Yeah.
And everything else is posited by men.
Yeah. It's the law of love, you know, supersedes all laws, you know. On these two laws lie all the laws and the commandments, you know. I think it was like love God with all your heart and love your brothers yourself. But I think we need to start seeing the creator in all creation and honoring that, you know, the sacred circle of life too. But, you know, those three sayings, you know, basically are it. You know, if we just hold to that, you know, we'll be fine.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Don't let ourselves be talked out of it, you know.
God is love, God is light. All there is love and light.
Great. Hey, we're at the end of the hour, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's always been great having you on the show. We'll have to get you back on again because I know we could do a 10-hour show with the wisdom that you have. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you and follow your work?
Oh, boy. Mr. Astrotheology is my YouTube handle. I've got four websites. One's a music site and three are, you know, syncretism. The syncretism one is universaltruthschool.com and schooloftheholy science.org. That's one word, School of the Holy Science. And I'm there with Matt Presti, Johann Oldenkamp, Bill Donahue's there, the great astrotheologian from New Jersey. He's been doing astrotheology for 40 years in New Jersey. Wow. He's just beautiful. And there's about 10 teachers there at that school. If you want to get into syncretism real hardcore, I'd join that school. Yeah. And then I do have I've got a music site too, of course. You'll find that when you're looking, you know, Googling me anyway. But for astrotheology, I don't know how you can follow me. I don't think Facebook, I guess. Have a look at Universal Truth School Facebook page. But I'm full on friends, so I can't invite any more on. But you can follow there.
Great. All right. Well, hey, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're out of time, and keep up the great work, and let's keep the spirit behind you and over you and all around you, you know, to keep you safe on your journey.
Beautiful. You too, James. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Great.
See you, brother.
All right. This is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great evening.